My name is Alan Morris, and today we're going to start another teaching. This is going to be a different teaching that we've done before. Before we've talked about topical subjects and how they dealt with the gospel. And now we're going to go verse by verse in the scriptures. And I've chosen the first book that I'm going to deal with, or letter, of Paul's, and it's Ephesians. We're going to be dealing with Ephesians. We're going to be starting in chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, this is tremendously important, and I think that we can learn a lot by doing this. I've learned tremendously and by preparing these. We're going to go till we get done with, go to about 27 minutes, and that's the reason why is that maybe someday, good Lord willing, we have put these things on the radio so more people can hear this gospel message. And they say that around 27 minutes, they got to be able to get it introduced, and they got to get it finished at the end. So I'm just going to keep them all in that 27 minutes. How far we'll get, it doesn't make any difference. We'll stop at 27 minutes, and then we'll start a new one. And wherever we're at, we'll start it again. And we're going to go all the way through the book of Ephesians. And then we'll be praying about it and see which other letter. I keep saying book, but they're letters, of course. And we'll be going to another letter. But right now, we're going to be dealing with Ephesians. Now, Ephesians was a Gentile city, totally Gentile, and it was on the west end of Turkey, on the Aegean Sea there. If you could look across there, I don't think you can, it's too far, but you would see Greece, straight west of there. Now, Paul was writing this from prison. He was in a prison, it's called a prison epistles. And I truly believe that these prison epistles contain the highest of church truth. I really believe that. They really makes all the difference in the world. They really show us exactly what we should believe and what we should do to be saved and how we should live. And this is a tremendous book. And I think when we get through it, verse by verse, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So get your pencils and papers out, and so you want to write and mark some of these things down. We're going to take our time. We're going to do it right. And as the Holy Spirit leads, we're just going to continue to preach and teach these epistles. And so we're in Ephesus. So turn to Ephesians. Ephesians, that's just 1 and 2 Corinthians, then Galatians, and then Ephesians. And we're going to look at chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. This is what he says. He's the apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to do some background to check on him, make sure that's what he was. So, let's turn to Acts. Turn back to Acts, back to the left. And just before Romans, and just the Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and then we're going to look at verses 15. But what this is about, this is when Paul was going to Damascus, and they took a bunch of people with him, and they were going to go there and capture all the Jews there that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And they were going to put them in chains, and they were going to take them back to Jerusalem and throw them into prisons there. And then they would have been judged, and they were going to probably be killed. Most all of them were. That's how they did it. If you didn't believe what they believed, they killed you. And that's what they were doing to these Jews that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But God stopped him on the way to Damascus, and it made a believer out of him real fast. I mean, real fast. And he actually blinded him, and they took him to a home there they took him to a house there in Damascus. And then God came to a man by the name of Ananias, who was a believer, and told him to go get Paul. And he was scared to, but he said, don't worry about it. You just do what I tell you. And verse 15 it says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, and for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. We find out that he was a chosen vessel. See, God chose him to bear the name, his name, before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. And then he said, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. See, Paul went through living hell. I'm sorry to use that word, but that's what it was. I don't think there's no man that went through what he did to get the gospel to us. And I think we ought to look at that. This is a Bible study, so let's just turn over to 2 Corinthians. Turn back to 2 Corinthians, Romans, and then 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, back to the right, chapter 11. And look what Paul went through to give us the gospel. Let's look at verses 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24. He says, of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. See, Jesus was beat with a cat of nine tails 39 times, and it just darn near killed him. I mean, it cut him in two almost. It's awful. Paul, that happened to Paul five times. But instead of going to the cross, they threw him in a dungeon or in the prison they had. You know what a prison was back in those days? A friend of mine went through those holy lands over there and went through in Turkey and then went to look at a prison. It was just a hole in the ground, literally. A hole in the ground about 15 foot deep, and they lowered them down with a rope, and they gave them a little mat to lay down on, and that was it. And they couldn't come out of there. And I mean, it was a cesspool. They didn't have toilets and bathrooms. It was just a cesspool. And here he had been beaten like he's been, like that, 39 stripes with a cat of nine tails. I mean, just tore to shreds and put down in an atmosphere like that. And how in the world did he come out of there alive? I don't know, but it took God to do it. And what did he come out of there to do? Preach the gospel. He didn't stop him. It didn't even slow him down. He just kept right on preaching the gospel. Then it goes on to say that three times he was beaten with rods. They say the rods are just as bad. They hit you so hard that they knock all the wind out of you. And then before you can get another breath, they hit you again. They darn near suffocate you to death. But the problem is they break every bone in your body. They break your rib cage and they break your vertebrae. And many people never walked after that a beating. But he was beat three times that way. And then thrown in prison. And then he was stoned. When the Jews stone you, they don't stone you alive, they stone you to death. They crush every bone in your body. And they drug him out like a dead horse. And God raised him up and he walked away. Only a miracle could do that. And only a miracle did it. God did it. But look what he's going through. And then he said, I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day, I'd been in the deep. In journeys, often in perils in water, in perils in robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of wilderness, in perils of sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching, often in hunger and thirst and fasting, often in cold and nakedness. Beside these things are without that which cometh unto me daily, also was the care of the churches. There was no man that went through what he went through so we could have the gospel. That's all he preached, you see. That's all he preached. And it's just amazing how the churches today have walked away from Paul. Because there's not a person, when we get to heaven, there won't be anybody even come close to the glory that Paul will have. He was the greatest man ever walked on this earth. Now, I'm not talking about Jesus because he was God. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's everything to me. He lives in me, you see. But he didn't go through what Paul went through. I mean, it was just horrendous what he went through. But he was God. I'm talking about Paul as a man. No man ever went through what he went through. So, that gives you an idea, and that's just go back to Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians. Go to the right. what you need to do is take and put a marker in there, because they're going to be going back and forth, back and forth. So we see Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Look what it says. It says, and this is the first verse, to the saints, to the saints. You see, that's what we are. And these people were believers. See, they've been believers. Paul had already, these are letters to this church, and this was already established by Paul, and these people already believed the gospel, and the proof of it is they were saints. You see, and as soon as you believe the gospel, you become a saint of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, some churches say, well, you got to be dead for so long, and then you got to be voted on by a group of people, and then you can become a saint. Well, and very few people do. Every person who believes the gospel is a saint. And it goes on, it says, who are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. See, these were faithful, so they were believers. Now let's look at verses 2. It says, grace be unto you. You see, most people go right by that. But you see, that's one of the most important words in this book, is grace. What does grace mean? It means unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. We don't deserve anything. It's given to us. You see, what Paul preached was the gospel of grace. You see, 100% different than Judaism. You see, this is... God does it all. He does everything. All we've got to do is believe He did it. See, He did it all. He died on that cross to pay for our sins. He did it all. It's unmerited favor is what grace means. I mean, you don't merit anything. There's nothing you can do to work, any kind of works that you can do that will give you salvation. Zero. Because He did it all. And all we got to do is believe it. You see, that's all we got to do is believe it. And we're going to be getting it more. But this verse is tremendously important when you compare this verse to Judaism. You see, Judaism was a religion. What's a religion? That's when man's working to try to work good enough to be able to be accepted by God. Grace is different. God does all the work in grace, and all we do is believe it, you see. The Jews had over 600 different rules and regulations and laws in order to bring them closer to God. It didn't work, though. It didn't work. And so God decided to do it all Himself. And all we had to believe is He did it. And then He takes it from there. And we're going to see how He takes them there as we go on. But it's fantastic, you see. And then it goes on, it says, and peace from God. It says, and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. How important is that? You see, everybody that's a non-believer, that does not believe the gospel for their salvation today, they have the wrath of God that's sitting right on top of them today. Because they did not put their trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they didn't do that, because they didn't believe God, when Jesus told him that they got to believe the gospel for their salvation, and they didn't do that, they have the wrath of God on them. But you see, these saints, they didn't have to worry about it. They had peace of God because they believed the gospel. That's why they were saints. Now, we're going to have to stop right here for a second. And we're going to have to go to something that's tremendously important. So everybody knows it. We're going to be dealing with the gospel. So everybody knows when I'm talking about gospel exactly what I mean. And we're going to start. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Back to Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1, and let's look at verses 16. Romans, chapter 1, verses 16. When I get done with this, the next few minutes, you're going to know exactly what I mean about the gospel. It says right here, in Romans, chapter 1, 16, it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, this gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. This gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and all He asks us to do is to everyone, what? That believes. To everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and then also the Greek, or the Gentile, He means it. It's to everybody that believes it. Let me read it again. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. We're looking for salvation, isn't it? To everyone that believes. Believes what? The gospel. So, it didn't say believe and be baptized. It didn't say believe and join a church. It didn't say believe and pray to Mary. It didn't say believe and pray to the saints. It didn't say believe and pay a tithe. It didn't say believe and speak in tongues. It just said believe the gospel. All those things I talked about, their works, have nothing to do with salvation. Nothing whatsoever. Jesus did it all, and all he asked us to do is to believe it. Okay, now we're going to see exactly what this gospel is. This is important. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians, and this will explain exactly what this believing and what this gospel is. And you write these things down. These are tremendously important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This explains the gospel as well as any verse in the whole book. This is the most important verse in the Bible, bar none. There's no verse in the Bible more important than these three or four verses here, explaining the gospel. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, and he's writing to them, and they are believers. He writes to only believers. These are churches that have already been established by him, and they were established on the gospel. And it says, moreover, brethren. So he calls them brethren because they're believers. They believe the gospel. I declare unto you the gospel. Now, not a gospel. This is the gospel, which I preached unto you, and which you also received, and by which you stand. They received it, and they stand on it, and they believe it. This is the salvation, the gospel, by which also you are saved. Now, you have any doubt now how important this gospel is? You are saved. These people stood on it. They believed in it, and they're saved by it, and we will be too. But it says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. In other words, if you don't keep this in your total memory forever, your salvation is based on believing this gospel. And this, if you don't, you're not going to be saved, because God knows your mind. You can tell somebody, you can trick your pastor or your teacher or your wife or your children or vice versa, but you cannot ever fool God. If you have to believe this for your salvation, okay. And then to start verses 3, it says, for I delivered it unto you first of all, that which I also received. Now, Paul received this. Now, keep your hand right here now in 15, 1 Corinthians, and turn over to Galatians. We're going to see where he received it. 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then Galatians. Just a few go to the right. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 11, what's it say? But I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This gospel came directly to Paul from the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who says, this is your salvation. You believe it. Okay? Now turn back to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at verses 3 again. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. We saw where he received it. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. If you believe that Christ died for your sins, and that he was buried, and he rose from the dead, that's salvation for the body of Christ. That's the only salvation there is, and nobody will go to heaven if they don't believe this for their salvation. Nobody. Because this comes directly from Jesus Christ. He told Paul to preach this for salvation, and we saw that. See? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. And here he tells you exactly what this gospel is. You've got to believe that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. You see, Jesus didn't point to himself. He pointed to what he did. Because what he did is what saved us. Because if he hadn't died on that cross to pay the sin debt for the world, we'd still be in our sins, and no one could go to heaven, no matter who you believed in. So he pointed to what he did for salvation. And all he asks us to do is to believe it. That's all he's asking you to do, is to believe what he did. That he died on that cross to pay for your sins. That he was buried and rose from the dead. So when I'm talking about gospel, now everybody here are going to understand what I'm talking about. Now let's go back to Ephesians. That's the most important verse in the Bible. We're going to come at the second most pretty soon. It's not very far away. Now, let's look at verses 2. It says, Grace to you, and peace with the Father. Oh, we already did that. Okay. Let's look at verses 3. Blessed be to the God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that hath blessed us in all spiritual blessing and in heavenly places. Think about that. He has blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is kind of hard to understand, because we just can't comprehend what these spiritual blessings in heavenly places are. But we know that when we die, our inheritance is in heaven. We know that, and he has blessed us, means that we're believers in those places. Now listen, look at verses 4. It says, accordingly, he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. Think about that. God has chosen us. The believers today that are walking on this earth that believe the gospel, God had already chosen you before the foundation of the world. In other words, before the foundation of the world, he knew there's going to be X amount of people that is going to live with him for eternity. He knew it. And he knew exactly who they are. You see, he knew exactly who they are. He knew that Al Morse, down the road, was going to be a believer. He knew it, because he had already chosen me. And he had to get the gospel to me before I died. It's impossible that I could have ever died until he got the gospel to me, because he had chosen me before the foundations of the world. And that's why he called me to teach the gospel, because the churches aren't. The churches are not teaching the gospel. And so he went to faithful men. I got it from a man by the name of Les Feldick. I didn't get it from the churches. I've been in church all my life and never was taught the gospel for my salvation. Never once. I always was taught to believe in Jesus. Take Jesus as my Savior. That's not the gospel. And I couldn't be saved until I heard the gospel. And I had to be saved because I had already been chosen. And a man by the name of Les Feldick showed it to me. And he wasn't a preacher. He just was a cattleman. But he had a preaching ministry, a teaching ministry. And he wasn't a preacher, he was a teacher. And he probably knows more about this Bible than any man walking on this earth. And it's just fantastic to listen to this guy. And he showed me the gospel. And when I saw it, I automatically believed him, because I had been chosen. I didn't know that, but I have. When I look back, I see it. Because now I know I'm chosen, because the Holy Spirit lives in me. And I got that Holy Spirit the second I believed the gospel. The second I believed the gospel, he opened up my eyes that I could see. And it was just beyond my imagination. 10 hours later, I was still studying the Bible. And I couldn't even read the Bible for 10 minutes. And my mind would be someplace else, and I didn't even remember what I read. But when that Holy Spirit came into me, I've been reading and studying the Bible every day for 8 and 10 hours a day, and some days more than that. It's just beyond my imagination, and loving every minute of it. And God, this is why I started this ministry, in teaching the Bible, the gospel. Because God pointed me to do that. So I'm going after people that are saved already. And they don't even know it. They've been chosen. They have been chosen before the foundation of the world. And I'm trying to get this out so they can see it. Because they have to hear the gospel in order to be saved. It's just hard to even comprehend. Now let's look at let's read 4 again. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be the holy without blame before him in love. There are several verses. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1:9. Turn to 2 Timothy. 1:9. Okay, let's just start at 8. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began." Before the world began. See, just like he talked about here, at the beginning of the world, he had already given it to us before the world began. And now let's look at verse 10. "Now it is now made manifest by appearing of the Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to the light." How did they do that? Through the gospel, see. "Through the gospel, unto which I am appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." See, all this has come about. Our immortality and our life is through the gospel. Do you believe the gospel for your salvation? And Paul was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher to us Gentiles. And that's what I'm trying to do now, is teach the gospel, because the churches aren't doing it. And this is tremendously important. We're going to stop here, and we'll start back again. And we're going to start in here in verse 12. And let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this time we've had together. And I just pray that people can understand this word, and that they would grow in the knowledge of Jesus, and they would come to know the gospel for their salvation. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.